Now, we are live.
Thank you very much, Camille. I'd like to go ahead and call this LTD Board Director Special Meeting to order. And I want to thank everyone for all the board for being here, as well as LTD staff and also our public for being here. Just a reminder, there's no public testimony that will be heard at this meeting, but thank you very much for being here. So first we'll do a roll call. Actually, I'm just going to name who's here. So I see Emily Secord, Kate Reed, Josh Scove, Stephen Yett, and Caitlin Vargas. So I think we're just missing Dawn. Is that right? So I'm just noting that Dawn Norton is not here yet, but I just kind of saw him. So I kind of figure he will be joining us pretty soon.
He did say he got another meeting at this time.
Oh, I missed that. Thank you, Kate. I do not have any comments for this week. AJ, did you have any comments as general manager?
I do not, Carl.
Thank you. Any announcements or additions to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and go straight to the ridership and operations update. So Tom, please take it away. Oh, you're on mute, Tom, if you...
I am, yeah, I just figured that out. So I'm gonna share the screen and get things going here. So can everybody see the screen?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna start with the graphic that you've all seen before. A couple things to note on the bottom. You could see there's a slight uptick for the last couple of weeks that reflects the service we started on April 27th. And you can see that also in the boardings after 8:30, even more so. Otherwise, not a lot to add to that. One of the things that we're always trying to think about how can we better visualize kind of the situation that we're in now? And so we developed this graphic just showing you for the last 5 weeks the ridership in 2019 and the ridership in 2020. And you can see, I mean, it's very much a stark difference. Not sure what else you can read into that. There are ups and downs, it seems, in the pattern of ridership that we would see in normal times that you don't see here. It's a little bit flatter, but I'm not sure if that's just an artifact of the scale. So anyway, I thought that would be just another way of illustrating the reduction in ridership. Looking at the road, the load data, this is for 40-foot buses. Again, pretty stable the last week, a little bit more stable, yeah. This is for the MX and, well, any of our articulated buses that we're using here, and largely MX, but otherwise, again, we're managing things, I think, pretty stably here. One thing that we did, and this is just a couple of the graphics, this is load data again for MX by time of day. And so you can see, as you'll see, I have a boardings for the system as a whole by time of day, which you've seen before, but you can see the peaks in the middle of the day. And then the average load is in orange. And you can see for MX that we're below the 20 passenger loads on average over the course of the day. And so that's just another way of looking at it. Same for the number 11. It's one of our regular service buses. Here you can see, again, we're below the 15 that you'd look for on these buses. We're getting, but we are carrying loads that are, it's basically, this is lower frequency. That's why the bars are similar size. But anyway, just another way to look at that information. Moving on to the ride source data, You can see there's a slight uptick. Again, we want more data before we say, yes, this is definitely a trend. But we have heard that there's an increase as a result of the reopening for non-essential medical trips. And this is the call volume here. Looking at the trips, kind of a similar type of thing. Again, not sure what to make of this this Monday stuff. We'll see if this is a continuing kind of level of ridership. But as a result of the service or the increase in demand, MTM is bringing on two additional drivers. Sorry for the typo there, and one call taker to handle the additional volume. This is a chart you've seen before showing weekly average boardings by time of day. I asked Andrew to color code the lines just so you could more easily see. I mean, this is what we saw before things started, before March 16th. And the red and blue lines in particular reflect the last 2 weeks of boarding by time of day. And that's and that they're higher than the two previous weeks, which reflects the increased ridership stemming from the new service level that we started operating on April 27th. So again, very similar patterns by time of day. The increase in boardings, you can see by the gap here between the red and blue lines and the lines before is where the increase is happening. Most of the early morning and late evening ridership is at similar levels, just to kind of illustrate that. And I'm gonna, this is the last thing I wanted to share, but you've heard us talk about the fact that across the country there's been reductions in bus ridership for the past, the trends have been the past 10 years. And so this is an article that was in the Times on, we came across recently, but it was back on March 13th. If you're interested in the article, I saved it to the board folder, Camille, if we wanted to send it to the board. you can see here, only two systems have seen increases. San Francisco and Seattle. And interestingly, the West Coast, and these are the 15 largest transit agencies in the country, the West Coast kind of brackets the rest of the country as LA has lost 20% over the last 10 years. Sorry, it's raining here now very heavily. So I added just to show you kind of where we stand in the context of these trends, our ridership has gone down 11% since 2010. So that's where we're at. Pittsburgh, I chose Pittsburgh mainly because that's in the middle of the line. They've seen basically back up here, there's very little change since 2010, but you can see they saw some downward trends here. In the article, I pulled this quote out of the article from Eric Lind, who is the research analytics manager at Metro in Minneapolis. And I thought what he had to say about this is really good. He said, there's a lot of societal change that's not necessarily connected to the ridership downturn. But it all points to this in the same way to fewer bus trips. And so what he's getting at is that, and we've talked about this a little bit in terms of there being a variety of things that have changed in terms of mobility and, things related to the presence of Uber and Lyft. You know, I think it was a couple of years ago that Uber and Lyft in that year carried as many passengers as public transit did across this country. And there are other things, and some colleagues of mine, they're researchers at Georgia Tech, Simon Barraby and Kerry Watkins did a paper looking at stop level data on some of these systems. And I will, that's what, so they looked at Portland, Atlanta, Minneapolis, and Miami. And again, I left Eric's quote here, but one of the things that they found was actually, and these are larger systems, so I don't know how directly they compared to our ridership, but that there's, particularly in Miami and Minneapolis, they noted a lot of higher income white neighborhoods were losing transit. And again, Uber and Lyft may play a role there, income, but those were reasons that they identified that explained some of the downturn in these systems ridership over the last 10 years. So that's what I've got, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tom. Do we have any questions from people? And we'll go ahead and use your raise hand function on the on your participants panel, or wave at me because I'm cycling through. Oh, Tom, actually, could you stop sharing your screen? That way I can see everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Then I don't have to do that.
Let me figure out how to do that. Oh, I see what I'm doing here. Okay. There we go.
There we go. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Because now I got some questions. All right. I'll start off. So, oh, I see Josh. So I'm going to ask mine and I'll let Josh go next. So two questions, Tom. I was wondering, number one, with this, the downward trends that you were talking about from the Times article, you know, we've been kind of tracking this for the last, you know, several years. Is there been any information about what COVID means in terms of whether, you know, because I have to figure the whole situation is now going to be different post COVID.
Yeah. So we have been tracking some of that, and yes, people are talking about mobility being different for a couple of reasons that we might actually see play out here. The first one is just meetings like this over Zoom. You know, we've a lot of workplaces have learned to make use of these kinds of tools to make working at home maybe a little more practical for more people. So the demand for transit may not be as high as a result. I mean, that's speculation, but that's certainly what, you know, people have been talking about. These kinds of platforms are really becoming effective. In fact, there's a Wired article that came out recently, maybe even today, talking about 3D platforms that are being made available for free now that are doing this. Kind of allowing for collaboration. So there's a lot of tools that are developing that will affect our commute patterns, I think in this region as certainly as well as others. The other side of it is people have talked to the fact that the notion of crowded buses is going to be a concern. And again, that's not necessarily specifically to our region, as much as it's where I've seen those comments have been, people talking about transit ridership in New York City and Chicago, Seattle. So we'll have to see. I think that may be more of a temporary condition, but certainly that was one thing that was called out that might affect transit ridership.
Well, I agree. And I think if fuel prices, it might take a while before the numbers go back up. And I think fuel prices staying low would also affect mm-hmm. as well. But the other quick question was something I had asked last week, which was, are we getting riders to where they want to go? And as well as whether businesses, we're communicating with businesses to find out if we're getting their employees and consumers to where they need to go to.
Yeah, we're starting to reach out and try and get that. I don't have anything to report, unless AJ, you might have heard something, or Mark.
As far as the businesses that are going to be reopening?
Well, it was more, are we currently getting businesses, employees where they need to go? And
well, I don't think that, I think we know that our system has needed a restructure for us to be able to do that for a while. And I know that's some of the work that this, that we've been doing here. And I think we know that fixed route, the new way of moving in our communities is not gonna be the sole answer. And with the ridership data you're seeing today that we're providing is the core service that we're providing on fixed route. And we don't think that if we were to maintain this level of, or this would be our only service, that we would be meeting this community needs. And I think we had kind of discussed that. As part of designing a fixed route system that meets much more of a massive transit approach, there also has to be these other mobility options that fill in the blank, because I don't think that at this point, and it's not just LTD, I think this is nationwide, is people are moving differently, and COVID-19 has just sped that up. So we're gonna have to be responding sooner than later to that new demand.
And I recognize the limitations of our fixed route service and such, but I was hoping that we want to, that we have people who are reaching out to the businesses and as many riders as possible to get, you know, some feedback as to whether, how well we're doing. Because sometimes they'll let us, even if we don't reach out, they'll let us know that, hey, we have a lot of employees who are not getting to X place, or I need to get this particular store and I can't do it. But I also want us to be active in that, acquiring that information too.
Yeah, and there's just not a lot of people working right now, or at least going into work. So that's part of the issue. And we are, you know, we still have our core services that are covering all the major employers. So the stores and different things. So we're not, you know, it's not, they don't have services that they've actually had. It isn't as frequent and whatnot. So I think we're, you know, we haven't heard that people are clamoring for the bus to get to work. You know, I mean, it just hasn't really been an issue. And most of the services we have before are still there, just not the frequency.
Well, that's good to hear. And what I'm trying to say, though, is that if we could at least act, I would really want us to actively check in. Josh.
Well, following right on Carl's question, to what degree has there been adoption of the touch pass by, say, our group pass members? Because then we would kind of have that information at our fingertips.
We haven't been collecting fare since early March. So there's no...
And not touch pass either.
Yeah, so no touch pass, no anything. So we have no data. We're hoping, actually, once we get the barriers in place for the bus operators, we can... put fares back in place, start touch pass. And so, but that's, you know, like I say, it's going to be late June or probably early July before that happens.
Great. Any other questions or comments right now? Okay. Seeing none. Go ahead, Josh.
I mean, I have more questions. I won't keep everybody all night, but I mean, I have more questions. Tom, I just trying to understand the shape of ridership. Just one suggestion and then one question. Although it is becoming soothing to see the same exact graphs over time, now those tall axes from the sort of like March weeks are kind of obscuring the variation in the more recent weeks. So if we can start seeing the, you know, without those high numbers, then we can actually tell the difference. Because, like, I look at this, and actually the last couple of weeks, not this week, but last week and the week before, do look like they're a little bit higher, maybe not even trivially, maybe, you know, a reasonable amount higher, but it's just difficult to see on the graph. So if we could start having a conversation about that, that would be great. And so maybe we will need different graphs, slightly different graphs. I say that because things might really change on Friday, right? I mean, if we start to have official opening up, whatever the message is from the governor's office or from OHA, and whatever kind of official go-ahead Lane County gets, people are going to respond to that somehow. And so we'll really want to take a look at that. That's just a quick comment on format of this stuff. The only question I have is just, you put up, I don't think it's in the packet, but you put up that graph about the daily shape of MX ridership. when I look at the boardings after 8:30 p.m., and then I try to net out MX, it makes it sound like actually the other routes other than MX are the ones that are really getting the evening ridership, sort of that extra little bit. I don't know if you can say anything about that at all. Does that tell us it really is people sort of going home from jobs that are a lot later, or people trying to shop at off hours, or what do we know about that time?
Yeah, I think so. Number one, we can certainly verify this, but typically what we see in the later night service, people might use MX to get to a certain place to make a connection, but going home is typically using non-MX routes. So I think you're right that's what we've seen. And again, we can easily verify that.
Awesome. And then very last question, Mark, I'm sure you guys have thought about this, but as a bus rider, I was actually really impressed at how quickly the TouchPass units went in on the buses. I mean, they just sort of magically appeared there at the front very quickly. The rollout was fast. I know it wasn't magical. I know it was a lot of work, actually. But I am curious, is there any way to put those at the rear doors and run an extension cord and actually be able to, you know what I mean, and actually be able to do rear door boarding but have touch pass data? I mean, I guess I'm just thinking longer term, in large part to protect operators, but I don't know. Has that been talked about?
Yeah. And so, those are pretty expensive, but theoretically we could take the ones in the front and put them in the back for 2 months but then, with no operator back there, there's no ability to manage it. So, and if you're having people use their touch pass, then you've got to collect fares as well, because they're paying and others aren't. And so it's really complicated. So until we get barriers, it just doesn't make sense to, start collecting fares or charging for, or having people use their passes.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, then. Please do, Caitlin.
Was LTD, is LTD part of a countywide plan, or like when we had to apply to reopen, was there any consulting with LTD at all? I'm curious.
We, we're part of the EOC and we give them some input through that process, but so the transit is kind of its own little world. I mean, the governor's supposed to put out some, guidelines for transit, but most of it's stuff we're already doing. And so, the whole social distancing thing on transit gets really, really dicey sometimes. And so, so we're waiting to see what the governor says, but most of it's stuff we're already doing, so that I've seen.
And along those lines, AJ and Mark, I think it's good to mention that, that you are in contact with U of O and LCC and making sure that we're ready to go if the ridership should increase if they resume more normal operations or different phased operations.
Well, and LCC basically said, quit going up here on Saturdays. So, so we're pulled out of there on Saturday. We're closed. Don't come up here. Like, okay. So, they're going the other way.
Right. Okay. Well, go ahead, Josh.
Sorry. Last two things really fast. Just to emphasize Mark's point, I was on, and I think Tom may have been on this as well. It was a webinar earlier today on different transit strategies, thinking about things other than fixed route service. And the agency that was on there that will remain unnamed was bragging about the things it was doing. We're doing all of those things. So we are webinar worthy at the very least. I will just say that, but that's kudos to LTD leadership and staff for sort of being at the front of the pack on those things. I just want to say I'm piggybacking on all of this discussion. I mean, this sort of begs the question of service model. I'll send some stuff out to people. There was a really good City Lab article on thinking about how to do electric scooters and in coordination with other parts of a transportation system. I'll send that out to everybody. I'm hoping we have a real service model discussion in our full board meeting a week from now. But I just wanted to foreshadow that, and I'll send it out to everyone. No deliberation necessary. Thank you.
And just in response a little bit, Josh, too, on, you know, the steps were taken. And we were really are kind of looking at the long term, even the barriers, you know, we're providing for operators. I mean, they'll offer some, you know, some assault protection as well as, you know, having people not coughing on them and trying to protect them that way. But we're also looking at other things such as a got electronic air filters. You can put an HVAC system that really cleans, you know, bacteria and fungus and viruses out of the air. And so, you know, so we are really looking from a really public health perspective. We're looking at the long term and trying to figure out, okay, what makes sense, you know, if you can't maintain the social distancing all the time, you know, is there other things we can do to really help create a safe environment on our buses? So.
Great. Thank you, Mark. I know every time I regret asking this, but just to make sure, any other questions or comments? Okay. Seeing none, then I think we've concluded the meeting today. Thank you, LTD, AJ, and the rest of the staff for presenting this information on a weekly basis to us. And please keep up the good work. And thank you for providing this essential service to everybody. And to the board and the public and everyone here, thank you very much for attending, and be well and be safe. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Camille.